The Matthew Bible Modern Spelling Edition.
There's a pure and unaltered truth that can only be found in this Bible.
This is the Matthew Bible Podcast.
Wow, there's a lot of Bible translations out there. What, over 400, 450 of them in English? Over 2,000 of them translated into different languages. And you have to ask yourself, why do we need so many Bible translations? A lot of modernism has taken over, and a lot of fighting that affected the people of John Rogers and William Tyndale's day is taking place even now. Unfortunately, people move away from truth, and society changes, our culture changes, and they want the Bible to say what they want it to say. And perhaps one of the greatest mistakes that people make is creating a God in a Bible that fits their lifestyle versus trying to make their lifestyle fit the God of the Bible and the words of the Bible. I'm not sure that we really need modern translations of the Bible, because the Matthew Bible is a very easy to read Bible. Perhaps one of the easiest reading original language to English Bibles that has ever existed and ever been printed. William Tyndale strangled and burned at the stake. John Rogers burned at the stake. Thomas Cramer involved in helping secure the printing licenses for the Matthew Bible burned at the stake. These men were under tremendous pressure, but yet they refused to move away from following the truth of the Bible. The Bible that was written in the blood of the men that gave up their lives so that you and I can hold those precious words and read them. It's an amazing thing that we don't want to take lightly. I'm not sure that we need more Bibles or more translations. Although an interesting point that has recently came to my attention is the scholarly search for trying to find out why the Matthew Bible has been given the name the Matthew Bible. Now, first of all, it's no mystery on why it's called the Matthew Bible. But why was the name Thomas Matthew used when clearly this was the work of William Tyndale, John Rogers, with contributions from Miles Coverdale? The Matthew Bible, the Thomas Matthew Bible, or Matthew's Bible, is called these names because it was originally printed with the author's name recorded as Thomas Matthew. The Matthew Bible is the Bible's proper name. This name's not referring to the Bible as being owned by Matthew, since the name does not connote ownership. It doesn't have an S or an apostrophe S in it. So we don't say the Matthew's Bible, although some have done that. It's actually just the Matthew Bible. And if you look at the King James Bible, it does not have an apostrophe in its title either. I have in front of me an original 1537 Matthew Bible. And here on the title page, it says, "The Bible, which is all the Holy Scripture, in which are contained the Old and New Testament, truly and purely translated into the English by Thomas Matthew." And then it gives Isaiah 1, which says, "Hearken to ye heavens, and thou earth, give ear, for the Lord speaketh," 1537. Now, that's where the name Thomas Matthew came from. And as a scholar who has spent countless hours working through the Matthew Bible, I've developed a theory that I am convinced those who enjoy the Bible will find informative, and I think that they'll agree with my assessment. I've been able to decipher the reason behind the name Thomas Matthew. It's a secret that has lain hidden for 482 years, and although a lot of speculation has surrounded the use of the name, there appears to me to be a simple logic in why John Rogers and Miles Coverdale chose that particular name, Thomas Matthew. Some have speculated that the name was a pseudonym to hide the Bible's origins, or because Rogers feared the fate of Tyndale. Others believe it was a name that Tyndale had used for himself while in exile, and the printers were giving secret recognition through this. And others think that a relative or a friend of the time lent their name to the Rogers printing. The final consensus is that no one has yet presented a solid reason for the use of the words Thomas Matthew in the Tyndall Rogers Coverdale Bible. Most researchers have concluded that no one knows the reason for its use. That is, until now. William Tyndale was strangled and burned at the stake. And when they did this, they also banned and burned his translations. But miraculously, the complete works of Tyndale were published less than a year later with the licensing approval of his very enemy, King Henry VIII. This printing happened solely because the translation contained the name of two apostles rather than that of William Tyndale or John Rogers. The word Thomas, if you look it up, it means twin. And the word Matthew, we're going to the original Greek here, means gift from God or Yahweh. When we combine these two words, Thomas Matthew or Thomas Matthias, they form the definition, a twin to the original gift from God. And the idea that informs this theory is that John Rogers wanted to be both truthful and inconspicuous when signing the Bible. These were men of God that was willing to lay their life down for right and wrong. And I'm not convinced that they were being dishonest with the use of the name. I'm not really convinced that they were actually hiding behind the name, but rather they was wise and harmless in their choice. Using the name William Tyndale could have resulted in, at the least, a rejection of the printing license, and at the worst, being burned at the stake. The result to Rogers Coverdale's decision to these persecutions was to use the original New Testament language of Greek to answer the king honestly about the Bible translation's authorship. Thomas Matthew can reasonably be interpreted as meaning, this Bible containing the Holy Scriptures as translated into English as a twin to the original gift from God to the ones you, King Henry, burned in the streets. And perhaps one can read the title page as saying, we didn't change anything, and we are reprinting this Bible just as Tyndale had envisioned it completed, and without changing anything he had previously written. There's no difficulty for me to postulate that John Rogers intentionally used the Greek language to confound his enemies while honestly articulating the person who was responsible for its translation. When asked, who translated the Bible into English, John Rogers could in truth answer, William Tyndale did most of the work, and this is a twin to all he has previously said. But wisely, Rogers said all that in Greek, and eventually received a license to print the first original languages to English Bible, what we know as the Matthew Bible. Hi, I'm Pastor Nathan Harding, the orthographic translator of the Matthew Bible, Modern Spelling Edition, and this is the Matthew Bible Podcast. Today's Bible reading from the Matthew Bible, 1537 edition, translated into modern English for today's listeners, comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonas, son of Amittai, saying, arise, and get thee to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto them how that their wickedness is come up before me. And Jonas made him ready to flee unto Tarsus, and got him down to Joppa, where he found a ship ready for to go unto Tarsus. So he paid his fare and went aboard, that he might go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in jeopardy of going in pieces. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and the goods were in the ship they cast into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonas got him under the hatches, where he laid him down and slumbered. So the master of the ship came to him and said unto him, Why slumbereth thou? Up, call upon thy God, if God haply will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said one to another, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause we are thus troubled. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonas. Then said they unto him, Tell us, for whose cause are we thus troubled? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What countryman art thou? And of what nation? He answered them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which made both the sea and dry land. Then were men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why didst thou so? For they knew that he was fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And said moreover unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may cease from troubling us? For sea wrought, and was troublous. He answered them, Take me, and cast me into the sea, so shall it let you be in rest. For I wot, it is for my sake that this great tempest is come upon you. Nevertheless, the men essayed with rowing to bring the ship to land, but it would not be, because the sea wrought so, and was so troublous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's death, neither lay thou innocent blood unto our charge. For thou, O Lord, hast done even as thy pleasure was. So they took Jonas and cast him into the sea, and the sea left raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, doing sacrifices and making vows unto the Lord. But the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonas. So was Jonas in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonas prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, In my trouble I called unto thee, Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. Thou hast cast me down deep in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about. Yea, all thy waves and rolls of water went over me. I thought that I had been cast away out of thy sight, but I will yet again look toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me, even to the very soul, and deep lay about me, and the weeds were wrapped about mine head. And I went down to the bottom of the hills, and was barred and with earth forever. But thou, O Lord my God, hast brought up my life again out of corruption. When my soul fainted within me, I thought upon the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, even to thy holy temple. They that hold of vain vanities will forsake his mercy. But I will do the sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving, and will pay that I have vowed. For why? Salvation cometh of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it cast out Jonas again upon the dry land. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jonas again, saying, Up, and get thee to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto them the preaching which I bade thee. So Jonas arose and went to Nineveh at the Lord's commandment. Nineveh was a great city unto God, namely of 3 days' journey. And Jonas went to and entered into the city, even a day's journey, and cried, saying, There are yet 40 days, and then shall Nineveh be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed fasting, and arrayed themselves in sackcloth, as well as the great as the small of them. And the tidings came unto the king of Nineveh, which arose out of his seat, and did his apparel off, and put on sackcloth, and sat him down in ashes. And it was cried and commanded in Nineveh by the authority of the king and his lord, saying, So that neither man or beast, ox or sheep taste aught at all, and that they neither feed nor drink water, but put on sackcloth both man and beast, and cry mightily unto God. You see that every man turn from his evil way and from the wickedness that he hath in handle. Who can tell? God may turn and repent and cease from his fierce wrath, that we perish not. And when God saw their works, how they had turned from their wicked ways, he repented on the evil which he said he would do unto them. and did it not? Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise at the day of judgment with this nation and condemn them. For they amended at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Mark writes in from our online forum and asks, "I would like to know, how did Tyndale translate Hebrews 6, 4 through 6? In the Matthew Bible, it says, "For it is not possible that they which were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were become partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and of the world to come, if they fall, should be renewed again unto repentance, for as much as they have, as concerning themselves, crucified the Son of God afresh, making a mock of him." Mark also adds to that question, "May the Lord Jesus bless this endeavor. Amen." Another question by Russ comes in, "How does your Matthew Bible differ from David Daniel's modern English Matthew's Bible from the early 90s? Are you referencing any other translations while making your Matthew's Bible? Are you using the Latin Vulgate, KJV, or any other material in the process of your Matthew's edition? Are you just merely correcting spelling? I can't wait for your Matthew's Bible. Very excited to own a copy of it. Thank you for your time." Hey, no problem, Russ. Couple things with the Matthew Bible is what Professor Daniels did was completely different than what's happening here with the Matthew Bible. He studied Tyndale's work and was very well informed about the work of Tyndale, where the Matthew Bible is the combined work of William Tyndale, John Rogers, and Miles Coverdale. So there's a little bit of difference with that, although the works of the complete works of William Tyndale are contained within these scriptures. And as far as using any other things such as the Latin Vulgate, it's exactly, according to my understanding, what Tyndale himself was trying to avoid by going back to the original language documents, was to prevent misinterpretation by bringing in translations of translations. There's going to be some similarities between the King James Version, since it was based off the Matthew Bible itself. We're not actually writing a Bible. We're not changing the Bible. We're not updating it. The only thing that we're doing is making the spelling modern to American spelling and changing the font to where it's readable. This hasn't ever been done before, to where people can actually just read the Matthew Bible as it was written, or printed rather, in 1537 and then again in 1549. So thank you for your interest, and we're looking forward to getting the Bible finished translating, the orthographic translation, just as much as everyone else is. Don't forget to check us out at thematthewbible.com or follow us on Twitter at @TheMatthewBible. You can also contact us via WhatsApp through the website at thematthewbible.com contact page. You can also follow the blog as well at thematthewbible.com.
The Matthew Bible Podcast.
Please visit us online at thematthewbible.com.
Tuco 911 supports the podcast you just heard. If you are wanting to help someone in need, not with a handout, but through empowerment, please visit tuco911.com and learn more about this program.